What a wonderful thought, Revelation chapter 22, 1 through 5, isn't it? Think about the water of life coming from the throne of God, going between the tree of life, the picture of heaven with no more sin, no more sorrow, death is gone. We don't have the need for the sun anymore, for God is its glory. What a wonderful thought, isn't it? But that thought one day is going to become the true reality of our lives if we so choose to be there in that great day. Amen? The sermon today is, Are We There Yet? As a little kid, and I'm sure you're familiar with these words, you may have repeated them to your parents driving on long trips. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? My grandparents lived 10 hours away from Loma Linda, and we used to go up there for Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving and so forth. And I remember sitting in the back of the Volkswagen Bug with the dog Sparky. And I didn't have any brothers or sisters, but we had Sparky. And I was always fighting space in the back seat with Sparky. And I remember on our long trip, I would say on occasion, Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I think my dad threatened me a couple of times, said, If you don't be quiet, I'm going to strap you to the roof of the car. And I don't know if he literally did that. I'm just kind of making that up. But I know the plague passes from one generation and to another, because I hear my kids saying that at times when we're going on trips. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I wonder, as youngsters, we say that because we are anticipating getting to the place where we want to go, right? We want to be there. We want this trip over. We're hoping that in just the next moment we're going to be there. Come on, Dad, can't you drive faster? You know. Can't you get us there a little bit quicker? Are we there yet? You know, we are on a journey ourselves, aren't we? You know, each day that passes by, each hour that goes by, each second that passes by in this earth is one moment closer to the return of Jesus. You know, I used to bug my parents, you know, on the trips when I was a youngster, and I get that a little bit today. Are we there yet? How many of you have been bugging Jesus lately? Are we there yet? Lord, are we almost there yet? Lord, is it time for us to go home yet? Are we there yet? You know, I don't think we're getting on Christ's nerves when we ask him, well, Lord, are we there yet? Think about it for a moment. Did not Jesus say, hey, doesn't the lady come to the judge and ask of her, you know, ask of him over and over and over and over and over again? And because she asked so many times, the judge finally gives in and grants her request. You know, the Lord wants us to pray to him. The Lord wants us to come to him with anticipation of coming home. You know, I don't think God likes it any more than we do, being separated from him. Jesus would want us to be in his presence. You know, as we approach the next year, 2009, 10, or 2008, whatever year we're coming in, as we're approaching the next year, some make resolutions that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I want to ask you that in this next year, that your theme for the year would be Jesus, come soon. Jesus, come quickly. Jesus, I want to go home. You know, think about it for a moment here. What is our name all about anyways, the Seventh-day Adventist Church? What is the name all about? Well, the Seventh-day Seventh-day Adventist, the name means that we keep the seventh day holy. We keep the Sabbath holy as commanded to us in the commandments of Exodus chapter 20. But I want to think a little more along the lines of Adventists. What does the word Advent mean? Well, we believe in the nearness, the coming of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we're all about? The second coming of Jesus? The anticipation that Jesus is coming soon? Have we as a people forgotten what our message is, what our calling is to share to the world that Christ is coming again? I mean, think about this for a moment. When you go out into your neighborhood and when you visit with people or wherever you're at and they ask you of your denominational preference or your religious preference or whatever they ask you concerning your religion, and you say, I am a Seventh-day Adventist. Do you realize what you're telling them? You're saying to them, yes, I keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy, including all the commandments, but specifically, I believe in the nearness and the coming of Jesus Christ. And when we proclaim what we believe by proclaiming that we're Seventh-day Adventists, we're also proclaiming that Jesus is still yet to come. And the whole entirety of the name, Seventh-day Adventist, is about Jesus coming again. As we approach the year 2008, it's just one step closer to the return of Christ. Can that be our theme? Could that be on our prayer list throughout this year, throughout every day of our lives, if you will, that Jesus comes soon, comes soon? I mean, don't you want to be there? Can you think about that for a moment? The tree of life, bearing its manner of fruit. You know, one for each day, one for once a month, however it goes, but it bears different fruit. Can you imagine what it must be like from time to time to see different fruit sprouting from that tree? Can you imagine for a moment seeing that water crystal clear coming from the throne of God? Can you imagine for a moment as you see in the distance, as you're looking at the tree of life and you see that river winding up there, it's coming from the very throne of God where Christ sits. Can you imagine in that vision as you're standing there in the very presence of God, you're seeing His glory at a distance, not very far, but yet approachable. You are in the presence of God. Oh, can you taste it? Can you smell it? Do you feel it? Do you want to be there, you see? You see, the very mention of Seventh-day Adventists is that we are going to be one day in the very presence of God Himself. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We're not quite there yet, but I believe that we're getting closer each day. And every time we take a nap and rest our eyes and open our eyes, every heartbeat, it's just that much closer to the return of Jesus. 30 minutes will go by today, an hour of church service will go by today, and that's an hour closer, friends. You see, our anticipation, do you want to be there? Do you want to touch? Do you want to smell? Do you want to sense? Do you want to experience the presence of God and being in the very presence of the garden home and seeing Jesus face to face? That should be our theme. That should be our desire. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 21, and look at verse 28 with me. Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. Again, Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. I know that you're familiar with these verses today, but I want to point out a couple of things here that's for our encouragement today. Luke chapter 21, verse 28, the Bible says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws what? Nigh." You know, friends, that's the theme throughout the Scripture, especially the book of Revelation. The Bible says, "Behold, I come what? Quickly." Right? The message is, it's closer than it appears. It's closer than you expect. It's soon. It's right around the corner. And Jesus goes on to say, "Behold, I am coming quickly." In the span of time in which we have lived over the last 6,000 years of Earth's history, we're saying, "Lord, you're coming quickly? How can that be?" Well, 6,000 years is a drop in the bucket compared to eternity, isn't it? And when Jesus says, "I am coming quickly," He says, "A day with me is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day with the Lord." I mean, God isn't set up with a time frame. So when Jesus said He's coming soon, He's coming soon. We got to think in the mindset of what Christ is thinking, that His coming is imminent, and it's around the corner, and we have a responsibility. We have something to look forward to. We have something to anticipate and to hope in. Have we become like many other Christians and forgotten what our true identity is? Is our church today inflicted with an identity crisis? We have forgotten who we are. We've forgotten what our name is all about. It's the advent of Christ. It's the message that Jesus is coming soon. That's the message. I want to think for a moment of our founding fathers, the Advent movement, and the people that were prominent in proclaiming the second return of Jesus Christ. On October 22nd, 1844, there were a group of people, Millerites or the Adventists, that believed that Jesus was coming October 22nd, 1844. That didn't happen. Here we sit today, you know, almost 200 years later. And here they were waiting for Jesus to return, but they were so determined and with their conviction that Christ was to come October 22nd, 1844, that the writings tell us that they spent nights in prayer. They spent hours in prayer. They spent devotion of prayer. They spent time together in fellowship, praying and confessing their sins one to another. They spent time in prayer, and they said when the clouds of darkness would overshadow them, they prayed until the ray of heaven would come into them and those clouds of darkness would be pierced with the glory of God. They wanted a calm assurance that they were ready to meet their Maker on October 22nd, 1844. If Jesus were to come next week, what would you be doing today? I doubt that many of us would be sleeping in our audience here today. I doubt that many of us would be doing the same things that we're doing today, or as yesterday, or this last week. We would be changing our ways. We'd be doing things different. In fact, I can be rest assured and confident as I say this, is that many of us would be spending more time in prayer. God, I want to be ready. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Change my heart, Lord. Help me to be ready for your soon return. In fact, I was kind of shocked to see this back in junior academy. My mom shared with me some old papers that I had from high school and grade school, and found this paper in there that I had in Bible class, and it said, if Jesus were to come next Thursday, and we had to write a 3-page paper on it. And as I read through that, I was kind of shocked with myself. Being 13, 14 years old, looking back at that paper, it was funny. All these things I said I'd change. You know, I was getting into trouble and doing all these bad things, but I said I would change this. I would go to church on Sabbath morning. I would be there this week because that would be the last church service I was at. I would be praying more. I'd be telling more people that Jesus was coming. I'd be telling family members and people that Jesus... And here I am, you know, teenager, getting into trouble. Definitely we would change the way we do things, right? Earnestness and prayer and desire would be, Lord, am I ready? And many of us today idly let time go by and sleep and slumber. And what discourages me most is when I look over the audience of our churches and we're sleeping during the service. That's discouraging, friends. I'm telling you. You know, it's like we come to church for what reason? Just to fill the pew on the day? Just to pay our dues? What do we come for? Don't you realize that church service is all about transformation, renewal, and commitment, not only for the year to come, but the week ahead or the next day? Lord, we're starting a new day. I want to confess my faults. I want to acknowledge you. I want to renew my commitment with you here today. That's what the weekly service is all about. It's about coming to the throne of Christ. We don't invite Jesus here because Jesus is already here. We're coming to his house of worship. We're coming to meet Jesus. Jesus is not coming to meet us with horrible, I'm sure, frowns upon the angels' faces as we survey the audience of many times our church pews when we're sleeping and bickering about who's sitting in my church, my pew and stuff like that. That's not what Christianity, that's not what church is all about. Church is about being ready for the soon return of Christ. Church is about getting people ready inside the church to go out to the world and to let the world, whole world know that Jesus is coming soon. Is that our message? Do we believe in that message still? 200 years have gone by. Have we forgotten that message of what our name is all about? Are you Adventist today? Are you believing or do you believe that Jesus is soon to come? Let's see. Do you still believe in that message? In Luke chapter 21, here he says, hey, the time is coming. It's drawing nigh, or redemption's near. We are to be anticipating. We are to be on pins and needles, if you will. We are to be eager and expecting that Christ is to come very soon. And possibly even in my lifetime. Maybe even next week. Of course, I'm exaggerating some there, but you get the idea. And notice what he says here. He continues in verse 28. Notice what he asks us to do during this time in which we live. What is he asking us to do? When you see these things begin to come to pass, then do what? Look up. You see, friends, we're not to be looking at this world anymore. We're not to be paying attention to the things of this world. Our attention should be focused up in the east, looking forward to Jesus coming again. It's our time to look up. Forget about this world. Now I want you to think about our forefathers. What did they do when October 22nd was coming around the corner? What did they do in their fields? Absolutely nothing. They left the corn, they left the potatoes, they left everything because Jesus was coming. There was no need for that stuff anymore. What about their businesses? What about the things that they had? They sold it all. They got rid of it. And I'm not saying you have to go out and sell everything, but the world meant nothing to them compared to what Jesus was going to offer them when they came the second time. You see, we as a people, maybe we have got so crowded in our minds and our lifestyles that we are focused so much on earthly things that we have forgotten the truth that Jesus is coming soon. We're looking down here rather than looking up there. We need to be looking up, looking up, looking up, and anticipating that very soon Jesus Christ will be coming forth out of the clouds of heaven. Are you there with me? I think Christ hangs the carrot before our faces, if you will, to give us a glimpse of the glories of heaven, to give us the desire within the heart to reach after what we can't see. He gives this Revelation 22 so that we'll reach forward, so that we'll keep looking up, realizing that there is a better place, there is a better home, there is something better than what we're expecting or experiencing down here on planet Earth. Mark chapter 13, verse 29 tells us that it's even at the doors. Mark chapter 13 and verse 29. He says in verse 29, "So in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is even nigh, even at the door." What is Christ telling the Christian here? Be ready. Be waiting. Be watching. Looking forward to. Don't sit idly by. It's coming. It's happening. It's mighty, even at the door. The responsibility of us as Christians, Seventh-day Adventists as Christians, is the eagerness, looking forward to and anticipating that Jesus is coming very soon. Being present, being eager for the future, being ready for the soon return of Christ, and by all means, looking up. Mark chapter 13 and verse 18, he says here, "And pray that your flight may not be in the winter." Well, no, wait a minute here. Is Christ asking us to pray about the soon return of Christ, the second coming? Christ is asking us to be actively engaged in the prayer life of praying for and asking His return to be soon. How many of us have put that on our prayer list? How many of us have made that the highlight of our prayer requests? Dear Jesus, come soon. Dear Jesus, come soon. I want to challenge us as a church as we approach the new year this next year, 2008, that our theme and prayer will be, Jesus, come soon. Jesus, come soon. Maybe make requests that are demanding with loving kindness, of course. Lord, please come now. Save our people, save our church, save our children, save our relatives, save, Lord, come soon. Let's start proclaiming the name that we have become and what we are, Seventh-day Adventists, the Advent of Jesus. I had the privilege this last week to write a letter in regards to an issue about Sabbath worship, and I had to talk with the manager and turn in a letter to the manager, an individual requesting that they'd have Saturday off, Sabbath off, and I wrote the letter, you know, like, this person doesn't want to keep Saturday off for the purpose of, you know, pleasure of, you know, catching up on house chores and cleaning up the house and going to regular amusement, but they want to devote this day and time to the Lord. Just like many millions of other Seventh-day Adventists around the world, this person desires to keep the Sabbath from sunset to sunset, Friday to Saturday night. And as I handed that letter to the manager, and I spoke to the manager, who obviously was not a Christian, who obviously wasn't in any concern for Christianity whatsoever, reminded me that he said, you know, the store that we have here is a weekend store. In other words, most of the business that we do on the weekend, and we expect our employees to be here. And I said, that may be true, and I'm, you know, that may be true, but however, as a Seventh-day Adventist, we keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy from sunset to sunset, Friday to Saturday. As I thought about later my conversation with the manager of the store and sharing with him the advantage of keeping the Sabbath and what we believe in anticipation of the soon return of Christ, it just dawned on me even heavier that our responsibility, wherever we go, when we bear the name Seventh-day Adventist, we are telling people that Jesus is coming soon. Wherever we go, whoever we come in contact with, whenever they ask of our faith, our religion, and we say Seventh-day Adventist, we are saying that Jesus is coming soon. The curiosity began to arouse in my mind. I wonder how many of us live up to the name. How many of us are actually living up to its name? How many of us still believe that Jesus is coming soon? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to wrap it up with these few verses here in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to look at verses 3 and onward. It's interesting to note here that many Seventh-day Adventists have become like these people that we're going to read about here in just a moment. You see, we had a people in the 1800s that were burdened with the thought that Christ was coming, and they couldn't contain themselves and hold the words back that Christ was coming. The promises were sure. The evidence was certain. Jesus was to come. Without sleep, without rest, with confession and prayer and making things right, with a burden heavy upon their hearts, they bore the message. But as time passes and things progress, it's easy to forget where we have come from. It's easy to forget the meaning and the name by which we carry around us. In other words, maybe we get lazy, lackadaisical, whatever. But notice this in 2 Peter verse 3. Our chapter 3, verse 3, it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. I mean, that's pretty common. That's typical. We see that in our world today. If anything, this last year was, to me, a heightened interest for nothing about whether or not we should say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays and all that stuff. It's just ridiculous. I mean, have people gotten so nitpicky that if we say Merry Christmas, we're offending them because of a Christian value? I mean, what has this world come to? It's crazy. And all this stuff about whether a person should be able to pray in the public or not pray in the public, and all this has just become crazy, you know. If you want to be an atheist, and you know, go right ahead, you know. But I'm going to choose to be a Christian, you know, just all this stuff. But have we come to this point in this world where people are in the last days of scoffers walking after their own lust? Sure we have. We're seeing it's evident today. But notice here, here's something very interesting. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell what? Fell asleep. Notice what it goes on to say. All things continue as they were from the beginning of what? Of what? Do you realize who these people are? They're not just these atheists walking around the world. They're believers who have forgotten where they have come from. They said, you know what? The sun comes up, the moon comes out. Hey, everything continues as it was since the day of creation. Where's the promise of this coming? We have talked about the promise of the coming for years. And if anybody has to say that, Seventh-day Adventist, we've been talking about that message for over 200 years, and we still haven't seen it. 6,000 years have gone by, and we still haven't seen the second coming of Christ. In Jude, the Bible tells us that Enoch prophesied of these very things, that Christ would come with all his holy angels. That was 5,000, 6,000 years ago. Enoch preaching the same message, the return of Jesus, not the first time, but the second. Over 2,000 years ago, roughly 2,000 years ago, Christ mentioned the very same thing. Behold, I come with the clouds of heaven. Jesus mentioned all his holy angels. The prophets and apostles and the disciples preached the very same thing. Have we forgotten the promise of the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ? Have we become much like this people here since our fathers have fallen asleep? Things continue. Notice this, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant. In other words, they choose to be ignorant. They choose to live the lifestyle that they want to live, irrespective of what the Word of God says. I'm going to live how I want to live because that's the way I want to do. That's how I want to live. I don't care. Don't tell me about these things. We've talked about them way too much.
Maybe that's why the church has gone to sleep. The zeal and the desire for the second coming of Christ has just petered out, if you will. Goes on to say here, it says, "For this they are willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perish." I like this because the writer here is reminding those people that choose to be ignorant, don't forget the heavens that God created. Don't forget the world that God created at the very beginning. And don't forget by all means that the world perished long ago by much water. What do we refer to? The flood. Don't forget that there was judgment pending upon those people because they what? They rejected God. And so what is he bringing into our forefront? He says, don't be ignorant. Don't sit idly by. Why? Because there's going to be another judgment. Amen? When Jesus comes again. Notice what he goes on to say here. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto what? Unto fire." When does that take place, friends? The end of all things. When Christ comes. Christ comes, the fire is going to purify the earth, right? Notice it goes on to say, "kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Not just those outside of the church, but men and women inside the church who say, where is this promise? Come on. Goes on to say here, verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant." Don't be like these folks that say have forgotten the promises, who forgot about the past, who forgot about where they come from. Don't forget, he says, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his" what? "God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering." Why is he long-suffering? "Not willing that any should perish, but all should come" to what? In other words, friends, the word of God is still sure today as it was 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. The word of God is still sure. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. And there is a day of judgment in which God will bring down fire, but also too, he's allowing us to spend time and devotion to him in prayer and conviction and transformation of heart and life. In other words, repentance. Reformation. Change. We can't idly sit by and let this world go by any longer. We need to live up to the name by which we have been called. Verse 12, it says, "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat." Friends, the promises are sure. Jesus is coming again. This chapter is all about the surety of God's promise. Don't fall asleep. Don't get mindful of the things of this world. Continue with the promises. Continue with the assurance that Jesus will soon come again. As we approach the year 2008, and as the days close for 2007, we can look back, and I know this is a time of evaluation, and say, what have I done? What would I do different? We make the New Year's resolutions. We do things like funny things like that. What can we do this year to be different than we did that was last year? Can we look back at the forefathers that started the movement of the Advent message? Can we remember those people that were determined with decided effort that there would be reformation, that there would be change in heart, and they desired to be close to Christ, closer than they ever were before? They had a determination to live up to the name of the Advent message, that they were going to in everything at all costs. How they lived, how their monetary values, their family, everything, they lived in accordance to the second coming of Christ. They made themselves sure and confident in the Lord Jesus that they were forgiven, that their sins were taken away, and that they too could see Jesus with firmness when he came the second time. Friends, don't get caught up in the slumber of this world and forget the past. Remember who we are. Remember the message that we have. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again to reward those who have been faithful to him, so that they may enter in and eat from the tree of life. and to stand before his holy presence, and I'm sure with holy awe to praise his name. Revelation 22 is a reward for the righteous. And what Jesus says in Revelation 22 is sure, and we can count on it. And Jesus is going to come again to give those who have trusted in him their reward. Our closing hymn today is number 213, Lift Up the Trumpet. And Jesus is coming again. I want to invite you to stand with me as we sing that hymn this morning, number 213, or this afternoon now. Jesus is coming again. Let this song be your theme. Let this song be your prayer, your desire. Let this song be your ministry, your witnessing, everything. Let this be your prayer life. Jesus is coming again. Number 213.